Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live with my co-host T, and of course, Con. Thanks for joining us at our newly scheduled time of 7 p.m., which of course we'll be doing all season long. We have the 49ers-Rams playing tonight. It's going to start in a little over an hour. We're going to do our best to get the show over with plenty of time to spare. So we got week four, first week of bye weeks, which is not a problem. We'll let you know who to use as a fill-in, since a lot of teams are going to be left out their star quarterbacks in week four. Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton both getting the week off. But while we lose two big quarterbacks who buy, the blow is kind of softened by the lack of running back production that comes from either of these teams, with D'Angelo Williams and whichever running back the Packers decide to play on whatever given weekly basis. So Green Bay wide receivers are always a plentiful source of fantasy production. Owners are going to have to find replacements for four every week starters, and Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb, and then Steve Smith from Carolina, and of course the tight ends Greg Olsen and Jermichael Finley. They were also drafted as starters in many leagues, so we need to go over a bunch of pass-catching substitutes this week. And, of course, stick around to the end of the show for Con's picks of the week. After a 2-3 showing last week, and he moves on to 5-5 on the season. And, of course, he only has 10 games because he didn't make any selections the week he wasn't here in week two. So, all right, let's get started. As we discussed, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, so let's start with obviously the game that's going on tonight, 49ers-Rams. What's wrong with Colin Kaepernick? We saw it looked like he was – a lot of people had him hyped as possibly the number one guy, you know, but just aside from Peyton's 7-touchdown performance in week one. But he just tore apart the Packers. Looked like he was not only a pocket passer, but a guy, a complete rushing threat as well. He threw for 412 yards and 3 touchdowns in the season opener. And since then, has just 277 yards passing with no touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the games that followed. And now there's reason to concern. There's reason for concern that he both times he played St. Louis last year, they also shut him down. So is it, are we just going to start to panic about Kaepernick if he has another bad game tonight? Where do we draw the line with him?
Yeah, and he's not getting the rushing yards that he did last year either, which, you know, aside from a football standpoint, it kills you on a fantasy standpoint. He thought this was him and RG3 were going to probably be the best two rushing quarterbacks in the league this year. I think the better question is what's wrong with the 49ers in general. They got manhandled by basically a soft Colts team last week.
Well, they might not be so soft. I think everyone is underrated them.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to help that they get – we just got word that Vernon Davis is going to play tonight, so that's really going to help Kaepernick. He's a big matchup problem. You know, if Bolden could step up and put in the performance that he did in week one, it's obviously going to help the entire team, not just Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that scares me about Davis a little bit is he wasn't healthy enough to play 3 days ago, and it's a hamstring issue. So how healthy can he possibly be tonight, and how effective can he be tonight? I mean, he's active, but we don't know how much he's going to play. But, you know, the 49ers look like a mess right now. They really do.
Yeah, I wouldn't rely too much on Vernon Davis, but he's got to be better. I don't even know if they're backup tight end.
The bottom line is he's going to probably be better than whatever started for him last year.
Even half the snaps, he's going to help Kaepernick out. It's just going to be – it's a decoy, you know, kind of like Roddy White playing in Atlanta is better than whoever they can plug in, Harry Douglas, whoever's behind Harry Douglas on the depth chart. But let me move on to the St. Louis Rams, actually. Sam Bradford came in kind of a make-or-break season for him. He leads the entire league in passing attempts, which I'm kind of a little surprised about. You thought they were going to come in as a running team, but – so it's not a complete shock, given that they, you know, the breakout of Chris Givens last season, they drafted Tavon Austin. Austin Pettis now has a touchdown catch in 4 of his last 5 games, and then the addition of Jared Cook. So this is a team with a lot of weapons. And while, you know, Tavon Austin, he's racking up a ton of catches, just not getting the yards out of them, but he's an absolute weapon. And he's still someone you have to watch out for on the field. Even Darrell Richardson, and this is becoming a committee backfield, it looks like. So something to stay away from. He's probably going to play this week, but I would try to avoid him. Low-end flex at best. But he's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So Sam Bradford has five reliable guys to throw the ball to.
The shame of it is that if the Rams just picked one running back and went with him, I think that they could actually be a really good play tonight. I mean, Niners are allowing a league-high 25.3 fantasy points per game to running backs this year, which is shocking considering I think they were the toughest on the runners the past 2 years. So it's just
no Patrick Willis tonight.
Yeah, no Alan Smith tonight. So, I mean, the Niners are a mess right now, which is crazy because, you know, we thought that they were going to be one of the more solid teams in the NFL. And they have, I mean, the Rams didn't look good last week either against the Cowboys. They kind of got, you know, manhandled. I think they lost 31-7. But, you know, I mean, the Rams, they have a real chance to make the 49ers 1-3 tonight.
Yeah, didn't they? I mean, they played twice last year, and they didn't lose either one of the games. They beat the 49ers and tied them in the other one. So,
yeah.
And if the 49ers do lose tonight, which we just agree that it's a real possibility, then they fall to 1-3, and they're far behind the Seattle Seahawks, the thriving Seattle Seahawks, 3-0 at Texans on Sunday afternoon. The Texans, the running backs, they're gaining just 51 yards per game, or to running backs in general are gaining just 51 yards per game against Seattle, which is the third fewest, on only 2.9 yards per carry. So it's just another reason to be concerned. You put add on top of that that Arian Foster had 12 carries to Ben Tate's 9 in week 3, and it's becoming kind of clear that this is a timeshare in Houston. Now, I'm not sure anything's going to change, and they want to keep Arian Foster healthy. Foster is only top 60 yards rushing in one of his three games this year. The only consistency within this game is that within his game is that he's going to get the goal line carries. But other than that, Ben Tate has made more of his carries. He's looked better. He's looked fresher. And this is probably a result of Arian Foster touching the ball more than any other running back over the past 3 years. So going against Seattle, am I crazy? But if you have a decent option, I mean, I guess one example would be if you stash Le'Veon Bell. Would you consider benching Arian Foster this week against Seattle?
No, not at all. No. I mean, just running backs have been so terrible so far this year. I mean, it's just like I really have a hard time, considering they've been so terrible, I have a hard time thinking that your third or fourth running back is better than Arian Foster. I know that Seattle's been extremely tough against running backs this year, and you know, the timeshare with Ben Tate, but I'm not willing to say it's a full timeshare yet just because, you know, this is Arian Foster's preseason. He didn't participate in training camp at all. So, I mean, maybe not this week, but by next week, if they're still splitting carries almost 50-50, then I'll be nervous. But, the possibility for a touchdown is always there for Arian Foster, so I don't think you can bench him.
But that's the problem, and you're kind of relying on a touchdown, almost like MJD last week against
Seattle.
You've
always relied on touchdowns to Arian Foster.
But he also got the yardage, but now you can't even necessarily count on that. He doesn't get the amount of touches that he did last year. It's kind of like MJD last week. He did get his touchdown against Seattle, but that salvaged his game. So other than that, I mean,
because Seattle's backups too, though.
Right. Well,
I mean, they're already in at that point.
I mean, I'm just, I'd be a little wary of starting him. We also, it looks like starting Texans players, it looks like Andre Johnson is going to sit out this game as well. He's been banged up all week. He's already left two of the three games early. Now, he was a monster. He was second in the league in targets last week. And then he had to leave again with a different injury, which kind of bodes well for DeAndre Hopkins. We saw what he's capable of with Andre Johnson out of the game. He becomes the number one guy there.
I actually disagree with you on that. I think if Andre Johnson's out of the game, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins becomes the number one guy, but that also means Richard Sherman moves over to DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe in this particular game, yeah, I guess you're right. But, you know, he did have his breakout when Andre Johnson left the game in week two.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's going to be the number one targeted guy, probably him or Owen Daniels. But, you know, this is a tough matchup for the Texans. I don't think they're going to, you know, Andre Johnson plays or not, he's banged up. You know, Seattle doesn't give up, you know, rushing yards If I could not start Texans this week, I wouldn't.
And well, conversely to what we said, also Arian Foster only getting half the carries kind of helps, because now it's also going to keep him healthy throughout the entire year, so you don't have to worry about his past injury history as much. Russell Wilson is kind of exactly what I thought he would be, at least. He's just a conservative quarterback, and he's limited because 3-0 dominant Seattle is always in the lead. So Marshawn Lynch is going to get the carries. Russell Wilson's not really throwing downfield. Didn't have Percy Harvin. He's a low-end quarterback one at best.
Yeah, I would agree with that, unless he starts running a little bit more. But I actually think this week is going to be real tough on Marshawn Lynch, too. I expect this to kind of be a low-scoring game. Houston's really tough against the run. Last week was actually the first rushing touchdown they've given up all week against Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, they're definitely an underrated defense. And our next game, we actually have two more underrated defenses, two big sleepers in the beginning of the season. Bengals at the Browns, and Brian Hoyer, he actually became the first Browns quarterback to throw three touchdowns since 2009, which is a 54-game streak, which is extremely impressive. How many people picked up Minnesota defense last week thinking that they struck gold in starting them against the Cincinnati, a Cleveland offense that just traded away Trent Richardson and benched the potential franchise quarterback in Brandon Weeden for not only their backup, but went to third string, Brian Hoyer. And then Josh Gordon single-handedly ruined all those plans. He's just an absolute superstar in the making. And he led the NFL with the entire league with 19 targets in week 3, catching 10 of them for 146 yards and a touchdown. So it's not just, we kind of thought he was more of a deep threat guy. That's sort of what he was last year in the limited time that he played. So 10 catches, he's proving that he could do more than that.
Yeah, well, let's see about this week. I guess the Bengals defense is really, really good, actually. They're really underrated. Aaron Rodgers didn't pass for 300 yards, and he didn't pass for multiple touchdowns, like Brian Hoyer did last week. So, I'm not about to anoint Brian Hoyer and or Josh Gordon saviors of my fantasy season yet.
No, but I don't think Hoyer's that great. I mean, Josh Gordon, he's someone I would consider a top 15 wide receiver going forward. But the big news is not top 15. Yeah. I don't think it's a question that he's top 15 the rest of the way on the Browns. And if he does end up getting traded, it's going to be to a team that has a chance.
He's been assured that he isn't going to get traded. I mean,
the
I guess
coach
that's
said that. Just like Cresciano said that Freeman was the starting quarterback on Monday, and then he got benched on Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
it's a vote of confidence.
Trubisky didn't go to Rutgers, so I think you could take him at his word.
I don't think it means much, and I don't think it necessarily means that he's not going to get traded. They also, Greg Little's being shopped as well, so.
I'm just saying, I think that inconsistent quarterback play is not going to let Josh Gordon.
I was going to say the opposite. I think Hoyer proved that he can at least, be competent enough in order to make not only Josh Gordon, but keep Jordan Cameron as the number two fantasy tight ends, at least
against
until Gronk
comes defense.
Back. That's not the point. I mean, they still put up good, not only just big games, but two of them put up monster games. So even if you limit their production a little bit, I don't expect Josh Gordon to go 10 for 146 every week. Just the same way, I don't expect Jordan Cameron to have three touchdowns every week.
Do you think Brian Hoyer is a top 20 quarterback player this week?
This week?
Yeah.
Maybe not, but
Do you think Gordon's a top 15 wide receiver player?
I'm just way more optimistic based off the fact that when you say that you're going to bring in a third string quarterback and then Josh Gordon's making his first start of the season after coming off the suspension, you didn't expect anywhere near these numbers. So for him to do this, he's already beat the odds before. Maybe he's just that good. And I don't think Brian Hoyer needs to be that good in order for Josh Gordon to succeed.
You're probably one of those guys that thought Matt Flynn was going to be an all-pro last season, too, in Seattle, right?
Well, you never based off of
one game, right?
I don't know that, but he also never got a chance, I mean, to be fair. So, but they proved they can do it. So, and Jordan Cameron, when Gronk gets healthy, I consider Jordan Cameron the number three fantasy tight end going forward. I don't think it's even close. I went over this before, actually. Then I would put Witten number four, and Julius Thomas cracks the top five at number five. But
yeah, the only thing that scares me a little bit about Cameron is I think he can have he'll be the poor man's analogy, but I think he could be a rich man's Kyle Rudolph. It wouldn't surprise me if he's like a star or a dud. You know what I mean?
Right. Because of Brian Hoyer or because of, are you just
doubting his talent? I think he relies a lot on touchdowns, you know, like.
I think he's good enough. I think his athletic ability, I mean, he's no Jimmy Graham, but the guy could play.
Look, I don't mean that as a bad thing. I think he's a top five tight end no matter what the rest of the way. Oh. I don't know, you know, if, you know, it's, say somebody took Jason Witten and took a flyer on Jordan Cameron, you know, I don't know if he's going to outscore Jason Witten.
I would trade, if that was the case, I would trade one of them. It's definitely
possible. Yeah, I would trade one of them too because they're both top five tight ends. But you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he has 4 or 5 weeks with a catch for 8 yards or something like that, you know, and then the next week he comes back and has seven catches for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Very possible. And I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Gordon did the same thing, but that doesn't mean I don't think he's going to finish the top 15 forward.
Back to the most important thing, at least for me in this game, is that it marks the first time this season that Gio Bernard has outplayed.
Had more snaps.
Yeah, had more snaps. When I said outplayed by, I meant literally played on the field more, yes, than Jarvis Greenhalgh. Gio was out there for 30 snaps, and Greenhalgh was only out there for 23 snaps. And, you know, I think Gio was already outproducing him, you know, by a fantasy point per touch.
We know he's a better talent, and now he's going to be getting on the field more. This is going to – he was always a running back, too. I don't think he goes into running back one range yet. And we know that Ben Jarvis is going to take carries from him all year, and he doesn't get healthy. He doesn't get hurt, and he doesn't fumble.
No,
so,
but what I'm saying is going forward, you know, because you can only – this isn't going to come backwards. You know what I mean? Like, unless Bernard starts fumbling the ball, he's only going to get more and more playing time. I will say that Gio Bernard going forward is by far a top 20 quarterback with potential to be 11 or 12, so somewhere in those range.
No, absolutely, and on any given week, he could always fall as well. A.J. Green, he's only had 87 yards receiving total in his last two games of the season, and now he's throwing against Joe Hayden. Like Arian Foster, and I mentioned this in my fantasy follow-up, which I do on the earlier shows in the week, I think A.J. Green and Arian Foster are my two stars at their position that I would consider benching this week. If you had a decent option, if you had a good option,
I got one for you later.
Okay, I mean these are the top guys who I think could easily just put up a dud week, which is, you know, and like I said, I'm not condoning you benching your stars. I really never am because you're gonna hate yourself all week if it ends up losing you a game. But it's just something to consider. Now we move on the Bears Lions and. The Lions, they're just doing what we thought they would, throwing the ball all day. Matthew Stafford, extremely consistent. He's got 2 touchdowns every game so far.
I'm sorry, can I just interrupt you? I just got a notice on my phone. Isaiah Pete is inactive tonight.
Is he really?
Yes. Yeah, he's inactive tonight. So all of a sudden, Darrell Richardson becomes a pretty good play tonight.
Yeah,
apparently he's
make
healthy
that
enough.
Stuff.
I mean, he wouldn't
Who would you rather start? I mean, full participant in practice today, Rashard Mendenhall or Darrell Richardson?
Darrell Richardson.
All right. I might have to go make that switch by the time the podcast is over. So, anyway.
Especially in the PPR. I mean, Richardson's been good for 4 or 5 catches.
Don't cut me off in the middle of a Matthew Stafford comment ever again.
Shut up.
Stafford, 340 yards passing on average. And him and Peyton Manning are the only two quarterbacks to finish in the top 12 each of the first 3 weeks. So, you have to like his consistency and... Now, he does lose Nate Burleson, who is the leading receiver on the Lions. Not the most talented, we know that. But in yardage and receptions, he was actually beating out Calvin. So he goes down with a broken arm, which it's really, honestly, I think they just upgrade with the addition of, they're unleashing Ryan Broyles this week, who, of course, you know, coming back from his second torn ACL. And he did play last week. He had 3 catches that he caught on all 3 of his targets, actually, which... But they only, I think they limited, I forgot the exact snap count. It was something like 25, 30, just to kind of get him used to going out there just to see how he felt. And everything was fine. So he's confident. He's going forward in PPR leagues. I love Ryan Broyles from now on. And Calvin Johnson, he struggled against the Bears in his career. But Charles Tillman, the Bears' number one cornerback, he's a little banged up. He's not going to be covering Calvin the entire game. So we have that aspect. Plus, you bring back Reggie Bush. And, I mean, not only do I love all these guys, especially in PPR leagues, but you got to continue starting Stafford going forward. And then you have the Bears offense where they look great. I mean, they really do. Martellus Bennett is rejuvenated in that offense. Brandon Marshall, you have to start. He's an every week guy. But surprisingly, the Lions have been the second toughest defense on fantasy quarterbacks this year, which, granted, they went against Christian Ponder, Carson Palmer, and struggling RG3. But it's something you have to worry about with Jay Cutler. But then again, you're only starting Cutler in two quarterback leagues anyway. And then we have Matt Forte, who's just a top five running back in PPR leagues, despite losing goal line carries.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions haven't allowed a receiver or tight end to score this year. I'm going to make a prediction and say that ends this week. And Brandon Marshall gets in the end zone.
All right, fair enough. We can let him score. He's allowed to have his one touchdown.
Right. I'm going to allow that. So then move on.
We have Colts Jaguars. Trent Richardson, he did score a touchdown in his first game in his debut, but it's worth mentioning that it wasn't a goal line carry, so he did score from 9 yards out. I still believe that he's going to get the goal line carries from now on. I expect him to be the goal line back. But his potential, I don't think it's what all the experts...
I think Trent Richardson was a goal line carry.
The touchdown wasn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
A 9-yard run.
No, I think his longest run of the game was 9 yards. I think it's a not. I'm pretty sure it's a goal line carry.
Don, so you want to look this up for us? You may be right. You know,
it was, yeah.
All right. So I mean, well, that just backed up what I just said. That I expect him to be the goal line back. There you go. Okay, I know what I'm talking about. So I expect him to be the goal line back, but Bradshaw is still going to cut into his production. And they did say again that Bradshaw, they kind of wanted to be a timeshare, especially maybe just for this week, but it might be a split. Until Trent Richardson gets more time, he gets used to the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually Richardson is going to be the guy here. They didn't trade a first-round pick for him to be a running back by a committee. So, I mean, when that week comes, I don't know. But like I said, same deal with what we talk about, Arian Foster. I think you're starting Richardson in almost any league that you're in. I don't think you're going to have a better option. You know, he could catch the ball. He can, he looks like he's the goal line back. So, and if anything, this trade may have put a little chip on his shoulder. So, I would still continue to consider Richardson a top 20 back going forward. And you're probably starting him in all leagues except for extremely shallow leagues.
Yep, I'm fine with that. And we have actually T.Y. Hilton, who broke out in week two for the second time this year. And the second time out of three games, he played fewer snaps this week than Darius Hayward-Bay, and Bay was a little injured in the second game, where T.Y. did actually play more snaps than him. So I don't know if he was healthier or this. This whole situation is kind of weird. And T.Y. Hilton's the guy you want to start. Hayward-Bay is not even. You don't even think about him in fantasy lineups. It's only a matter of time. We've been saying that, and we thought week two was that time, but apparently not, because Hilton was shut down again. Albeit in a tough matchup against the 49ers. So I like, just a side note, I like Kobe Fleener with Dwayne Allen out for the year as a sleeper tight end going forward. One of the later round guys. He should be available in most leagues. And then we have garbage time Cecil Shorts, who actually leads the NFL with 40 targets. And last week, 8 passes for 143 yards against Seattle. Yeah, I mean, which is worth mentioning. With Chad Henne as his quarterback, they go back to Blaine Gabbert on this one. And, I was high on him all year. Maurice Jones-Drew hasn't looked impressive at all. I don't think he hasn't had 50 yards rushing in the game yet. But I really like him as a buy low. Once he comes back fully healthy, his schedule will get a little bit easier. I think he's a guy you want to target if you can, from a panicking MJD owner.
I really wish the Jaguars would just play Chad Henne because Cecil Shorts is just so much better with Chad Henne as his quarterback. It's almost like the Jaguars don't think about fantasy owners.
Well, now, how long is Justin Blackman suspended for? 4 games, right?
Yeah,
so he comes back in week 5.
Yeah.
So that's going to cut. Trade Cecil Shorts now if you can.
Shorts had big games with Blackman in the lineup last year.
Yeah, but as I think I just this whole offense in general, except for MJD, if you could sell high on Cecil Shorts, I would. Did not had to, yeah. They're, as Con said, they're always going to be losing. They're always going to be throwing the ball, unfortunately, with the terrible quarterbacks they have. But he's going to have opportunities. I would try to trade him now if he could. Moving on, we have, it looks like T actually mentioned before, the Cardinals-Buccaneers game. He's going to consider, is this your star that you were talking about, benching Larry Fitzgerald this week?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
I
haven't gotten to that point yet where I've been
going against Revis. He's definitely going to play Fitz, and you know he did the same thing the past 2 weeks. He left week two early. He was fine in week three. And now, I mean, you bring up a good point going against.
He's not fully healthy. He's not, you know, he's going up against Revis. I mean, I could start three guys in two spots. It's T. Whitehill and Larry Fitzgerald or Chris Johnson. So I have them, you know, one of them is not going to start. And I just.
I like where your head's at with this, but we know you're going to start Fitz over T.Y. I mean,
I don't know. T.Y. has that chance to go off for 25 points.
So does Fitz.
I don't think Fitz.
I mean, they all
do.
Now we have Mendenhall. Mendenhall is actually, he was limited in practice, but he put in a full day today. So this whole backfield, Mendenhall is a guy you want to start, but only if you're desperate. And we have Michael Floyd and Andre Roberts are just not usable anymore. And we move on to the Tampa Bay side of the ball. Josh Freeman getting benched, which is a big story, which we touched on before, for a third-round rookie, Mike Glennon. So I don't know if they just officially just gave up on Josh Freeman. And interestingly enough, you know, Josh Freeman gets benched, who had just as good, if not better, numbers than Colin Kaepernick over the first few weeks, which – you know, and Colin Kaepernick got all his points from that week one game. So obviously not going to bench Colin Kaepernick, but now you bring in Mike Glennon, really strong arm. Is he 6'7", the quarterback?
Yeah,
I mean, he has the tools. It's just
they saw him play a couple times in college. He cannot move at all. Like, he's like a statue, but he can throw the hell out of him.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't hurt any of the skilled players in this offense. Doug Martin, he's been pretty consistent. He hasn't had that big game, but I'm not worried about him. He's still leading the league in rushing attempts, so he's getting the opportunities. And you have to like his, you know, he's going to catch balls out of backfield, and Glennon's going to look to check down a lot.
It can't hurt them because they've been playing with Josh Freeman of this year, who's by far the worst quarterback in the league. Not Josh Freeman, you know, that had a good 10 games last year. He's completing 43% of his passes. I mean, Mike Glennon's got to be better.
And he's got a strong arm. Both these guys can catch the ball downfield. So, you know, hopefully they'll just get even lucky, like a Santonio Holmes deep touchdown catch, you know, something like that. Because you got to expect Glennon to either check down to Martin or throw the ball deep. He's only had less than a week of practice, and both these wide receivers haven't practiced with him. So there's going to be little chemistry, and they're going to rely on their skilled players to make plays. And then we have the Giants-Chiefs, the 0-3 Giants, led by Eli Manning, who has been held to one or fewer touchdowns now in 10 of his last 14 games and has 6 multi-interception games during that span. So he's just not a guy you're looking to start at all, especially in quarterback one leagues. And
I was still starting at 2 quarterback leagues.
You still start in 1 quarterback league, yeah, but now you have – going against the Chiefs defense, which is a top 5 defense, looks like for the rest of the way.
I picked them up this week. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe they were
the Chiefs leading the NFL in sacks, but going against this offensive line who can't block anybody.
Yeah.
Would you be surprised? And Eli, we just talked about Mike Glennon not being able to move. I mean, him and Eli in a race might be pretty interesting.
No, Eli beat them 10 out of 10.
I mean, I don't doubt it, but that's not to say that they're not going to give him a ton of trouble all game. And then
the guy I'm looking to start this week, honestly, the only guy I might start unless I had to is Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz is the only reliable one at least. I mean, Nick's only saw one target and got 0 catches in week 3. And then David Wilson just continues to struggle, 39 yards on 11 carries.
You know, it's becoming apparent, though. Like, it's a crazy how much 1 week changes. Because all of a sudden Nick gets one target when Eli couldn't throw the ball. And, you know, Nick's isn't a viable – not that he's not a viable fantasy option anymore, but –
I still like it. The talent's still there. And
yeah.
I would just be worried this week. But
I'm just saying, like, Eli gets sacked 7 times, so it can't be Eli's problem. So all of a sudden the offensive line stinks, which they did. I'm not saying they didn't. But it's – you know, it's it's funny. Maybe David Wilson's not that bad. Maybe the offensive line is that bad. You know, like I'm just saying. Which doesn't help you in fantasy. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It's crazy how 1 week could change everything.
Yeah, and how it's funny how you say how one little thing changes just the same way that, you know, Josh Freeman, who just got benched, was a penalty away from being 1-0. Then he lost the next game on a field goal, a last-second field goal. So, you know, the Bucs are two plays away from being 2-1, and now all of a sudden he gets benched. So, yeah, obviously things could change. It's tough to predict. Jamaal Charles, this isn't tough to predict. The only running back in the NFL with 100 total yards and a touchdown in all three games. So he's,
Jamaal Charles is going to have a huge week against the Giants.
Yeah, so he's the most consistent running back this season so far. And this is actually, I love this call that I made. Donnie Avery caught all the targets, 7 catches, 141 yards against the Eagles last week.
What was the call?
I said Donnie Avery, and I actually said Alex Smith too, which wasn't as good, but I did say start Donnie Avery in deeper leagues.
We started Donnie Avery in deeper leagues anyway. That's not like a cool call.
Who was starting Donnie Avery?
In deeper leagues?
Who was starting Donnie Avery?
He's in deep league.
He's a decent wide receiver three. He had a good game. That's all that matters. I mean, Dwayne Bowe, he was one kid. Only, and on one catch last week, only 9 on the season for 90 yards and a touchdown.
It's time to start worrying about Dwayne Bowe.
Not his talent. It's just I worry about Alex Smith and just the offense and them throwing to him. So
the bottom line is, like, the Chiefs have to start getting him the ball to be a better offense. You know, their best weapon outside of Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, but they are 3-0, so they're probably not going to look to change much unless they absolutely need to.
Have they played really any good teams, though? I mean,
no, I'm just saying that, but don't fix what isn't broken. So, and we have Ravens at Bills. Now, for the season, Buffalo's run defense is just getting thrashed, letting up 146 yards per game. Which Ray Rice, full participant in practice today, they said it's more of a pain tolerance thing. So as long as he can hold up, he will be a full go, which is bad for Bernard Pierce. Owners, but I'd still like Bernard Pierce as a decent flex option if you are desperate. But I would start Ray Rice as a top 10 option this week. And then we have Torrey Smith has 270 yards receiving. Really, no touchdowns, I think. I don't think he's scored yet. But, you know, which is kind of something we've come to rely on when it comes to Torrey Smith. You know, the big play. Yeah, but he's the number one guy there, especially with Jacoby Jones out. And, you know,
especially against the Bills defense, because they think.
Yeah, but Jarius Bird isn't playing again, the safety from Buffalo, so a banged up secondary. And the guy, the top 5 guy that we really have to worry about, CJ Spiller, 10 total yards on 10 touches before leaving with an injury. And then, you know, and Fred Jackson, his backup, he's had over 12 points in all 3 weeks.
I know he has at least 10. I don't know.
At least 10, that might be the number. I know. I mean, CJ Spiller is another one.
I'm starting Fred Jackson over CJ Spiller this week. Hands down.
Over? I wouldn't. I think CJ Spiller is going to get the majority of the carries again. You know, I don't think CJ Spiller is a top 5 guy that a lot of people hoped he was going to be, but I still like him as a buy low. He's going to play, and going forward, he can't get any worse than he's been. So, you know, find your panicking CJ Spiller owner and trade for him just like we spoke about before. Anyway, Doug Martin, Stephen Ridley as well. I like all these first-round running backs as buy-low candidates. And then Steve Johnson is another guy. He's exactly what we thought he was going to be, averaging 12 fantasy points per game. I think if we had to pinpoint a number that he would average throughout the year, it'd probably be that exact number. And he pretty much puts it up. He's averaging 12 fantasy points per game. I think he's been in that range every single game. So he's as consistent as it gets. There's a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. We move on to Steelers-Vikings, the London matchup, you know, both 0-3 teams. The Vikings, yeah, I think they're both 0-3. So, it's a great game that not both these teams have to fly overseas.
Let it get the British market into American football.
Yeah, seriously. It's almost like they have, I mean, the positive thing for and actually the most intriguing storyline of the week for me, especially since not only do I have him in a lot of leagues, but only because he's going to become the every down back, is Le'Veon Bell claims he's 100% and he's going to make his career debut. So what do we make of this? And Minnesota's defense, they've been subpar this season. Definitely below average.
Subpar. They just let Brian Hoyer throw for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, so, I mean, they haven't been good. I don't even know who they played. Who they play in week 2?
No, that's
two,
awful. I thought subpar is like a D, like C minus.
It is. So if Le'Veon Bell has, this is a good first offense for him to go up again. And then we have Antonio Brown, who had a huge game on Sunday night last week, 196 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if you start him going forward, and also Emmanuel Sanders is a nice guy in PPR league.
Yeah, I love the Steelers passing offense this week. Like I said, they just gave up 3 touchdowns to a tight end, 3 touchdowns to a tight end, 10 catches and 146 to Josh Gordon, and 3 touchdowns and I think it's 321 yards to Brian Hoyer. You know, what are Emmanuel Sanders, Heath Miller, Antonio Brown, and Big Ben going to do?
Yep.
And that's why I don't like Le'Veon Bell this week. It's his first game. You don't know how much work he's going to get. You know, like you said, you don't know how much work he's going to get. The Steelers can't really run the ball anyway. I'm just not a big Le'Veon Bell fan. I don't think he's that good anyway. I really don't.
I mean, we don't know. That's the biggest concern. We don't know how he's going to be in the NFL. But then again, it's not that, you know, college success transitions to the NFL. We've seen that with, you know, Jonathan Franklin, and you know, he was a lot of guys, number one guy coming out. So it's more a lot of opportunity, and it's the thing I'd be worried about. He hasn't done a lot of work, so we just don't know if he's in full game shape, and they're going to give him 100% of the carries, and he could potentially get hurt.
Just a little interesting stat, though. Heath Miller has a chance to have a pretty big game this week. You know, Big Ben, while Big Ben was ripping Le'Veon Bell this week, he actually gave a little compliment to Heath Miller, saying that, you know Heath Miller's going to come ready to play. And the Vikings have given up 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks to tight ends this year. So Heath Miller could be a sneaky player to get into the end zone.
That's not a bad call. Heath Miller is a guy who finished the top 6 tight end last season. Now he's coming back healthy. Just kind of like you mentioned, I just like the entire Steelers offense, especially the receiving core. And, you know, the receiving core I'm completely staying away from. The Vikings, Kai Rudolph, just one game with 50 yards receiving in his last 8 starts. You stay away from this guy. We said that for the longest time. Cordarrelle Patterson only plays 20 snaps, which is unfortunate for him, his career high. Last game, he's still done nothing unless he shows that he's a viable option. Stay away from him. Jerome Simpson and Greg Jennings, just nothing. And then the only guy you're confident starting here, of course, Adrian Peterson, who's averaging 4.1 yards per carry in 2013, which is, you know, way down from his 6 yards per carry last season. But even if you take away from that 4.1, if you take away his first carry of the season, which is 78-yard house against the Lions.
Oh, wait, hold on. They're showing Jim Moore, not Jim Schwartz, going over after Jim Harbaugh.
Is this it?
No, they just showed it. Sorry.
Anyway, how many bad line things in that? I just talked about Peterson's 78-yard house and then Jim Schwartz getting embarrassed. But so if you take away that 78-yard house by Peterson, he has just 203 yards on his last 68 carries, which is only 2.9 yards per carry. But he's still maintaining his great season because of the touchdown, but the production's just not there. I don't know if it's the offensive line or just, you know, stacking the box, because his receiving core is just so bad.
Well, they stacked the box last year, so I mean,
they're even worse now. They don't have Percy Harvin.
I mean, I'm not about to worry about Adrian Peterson.
I'm not worried, but you know, now there's a chance he doesn't finish as the overall number one guy. I think that's the only thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, it's not like anyone's rushing away to take, I guess, LeSean McCoy, but
I mean, it's just something worth mentioning. And then, you know, speaking of shutting down rushers, the Jets play at the Titans. The Jets and Geno Smith. Geno threw 330 yards and 3 total touchdowns, which one of them was a rushing touchdown, which obviously helps a lot in fantasy as well. But the big rushing story is Bilal Powell. It looks like he's finally taking the reins, at least while, you know, for as long as Chris Ivory's out and until Mike Gibson comes back from suspension next week. But 149 yards on 27 carries, and if he's going to be getting 27 carries, and, you know, even though I like the Titans defense, they've actually improved a lot, but Powell's I believe I think he's the 12th scoring running back in fantasy this week.
Yeah, not only that.
Well, not this week, sorry, for the year.
The Titans are giving up a lot of points to running backs this year. So, you know, I'm getting tightened up. So Powell going forward is the guy in New York, you know what I mean? Like, he's startable in almost any league at this point. You know, like you said, but I hate to sound like a broken record, but with all the disappointing running backs, it's nice to see a guy stepping up and actually exceeding expectations. So, you know, I would start Powell with confidence until further notice, you know.
Yeah, it's probably – this is the last obviously consistent week. I think you can expect that of him. It looks like Ivory won't be held out too long. He might come back next week, but you never know. If Powell does run away with it again, then who knows? He could take over as the every down back. It's not like they're against starting a guy. We've seen it before where the Jets like to use one running back under Rex Ryan. So if he does take over and he shows he could do it and he holds on to the football, then I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the number one guy. Then we have Santonio Holmes. Actually, he broke out this game as well. Five catches for 154 yards. You know, he did have that one long touchdown where the cornerback kind of fell down. But that's all part of the fantasy crapshoot. So
yeah, more importantly, he just looked healthy. I mean, forget about the stats. He had a great game, but forget about the stats. He just looked healthy.
And Geno, he's showing confidence in Santonio Holmes. So that's who Geno's going to throw to. And also Stephen Hill. I mean, these are just like kind of like bye week options. Santonio Holmes needs to be picked up in most leagues, especially PPR. But with Stephen Hill, you know, leads the Jets now with 23 targets. That's just worth mentioning. If these are all guys that Kellen Winslow, you know, was an option, not anymore going forward. And then we have Chris Johnson from the Titans. He's doing the same thing he did last year. He doesn't get hurt, and that kind of hurts fantasy owners because then you're forced to start him. And while he's second in the league with 69 carries, he has his usual 3.7 yards per carry. We thought that offensive line was going to get better. Apparently not. And even worse, he doesn't have a single goal line carry and no touchdowns this year.
It's weird because he has a bunch of red zone carries but not any goal line carries. Like,
they're not getting the opportunities.
Yeah.
And not only that, and he has exactly 2 receiving yards in 2 games. So it's just, I don't know. He's not even getting the receptions anymore. You know, he looked good in the preseason. I don't know if it's – is he losing his talent? I mean, he kind of looked the same, but you just got to wonder. And they have no passing game between Jake Locker, who's struggling. They don't even know if he's going to be their franchise quarterback moving forward. And Kendall Wright, his targets have actually increased every week. And then, you know, Kenny Britt's becoming fairly irrelevant. He's a guy you can drop.
Yeah, I kind of like Kendall Wright this year. I'm sorry, this week. It's just, I mean, the Jets, you know, they're giving up points to wide receivers this year. So I think if one guy emerges, you know, it could be Nate Washington. He had a big week last week. But, you know, I wouldn't mind starting Kendall Wright if I had to.
Nate Washington, he's so inconsistent on a week-to-week basis and actually on a year-to-year basis. But he's always put up those big games. So, and not that's how it works, but I just don't expect him to do it 2 weeks in a row. And, I mean, this next game, a Sunday afternoon, late afternoon game, you want to be starting every offensive skill player you possibly can. Yeah. Out of the Eagles and Broncos. And
I would try to trade for people just for this week.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. I mean, this week, it has to be the highest scoring game of the week and potentially the highest scoring game of the year with the number one and number two offense going against each other. And what's there to say about Peyton Manning? I mean, he has 12 passing touchdowns, no interceptions, and by far the highest scoring fantasy player. And his 12 touchdowns are as many as any other team has total, which is just unreal in a passing league, in a scoring league, an offensive league. So he's just been completely dominant. And then you have, you're starting, as you said, it's going to be hard to get production from the Denver wide receivers. And now you can add the tight end in there on a week-to-week basis. But you have Wes Welker, who is falling in leagues in drafts this year. Everyone said there wasn't going to be enough to go around, but he does it every single season. He's the only receiver in the NFL with touchdown all 3 of the first games. And then Julius Thomas is the only tight end with a touchdown in the first three games. So, as I brought up before, Julius Thomas, he's a top five tight end going forward. He's someone you need to start. He's a great red zone threat. Wes Welker has to start going forward. And here comes Eric Decker. But this is the one week where Demaryius Thomas had his, you could say, had his week off. And then Eric Decker steps up, 8 catches in back-to-back games.
But, I mean, Demaryius Thomas, he still put up 20 points in PPR leagues. He had 10 catches.
Yeah.
That's like, that's an off week in this offense.
I was going to say. So
you know, like, I thought Eric Decker was going to be the guy that kind of, like, fall out, but, like, you know, I thought Welker would take more away from Decker than he took away from Thomas. But, you know, Decker had a quiet week one, and then he had 8 catches in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the chemistry between Peyton and Welker is just unreal. And it's kind of, it's really not unexpected. You know, we did talk about how good Peyton is at throwing the slot receivers throughout his entire career, and Wes Welker's the best one he's ever had. So, you know, while you want to start everyone in this offense, it's the running backs that I'd be a little concerned about. And last week, we have Noshawn with 37 snaps, Ronnie Hillman with 25 snaps, and Monty Ball with 17. They're all, the three of them are going to cut into each one, you know, one another's production. And if you had to start one, it'd be Noshawn Moreno. I kind of like them going for, and this week, Noshawn Moreno is the starter. Number two, Monty Ball, I would say, and then Ronnie Hillman third for the rest of the season. But who the hell knows what's going to happen with these three?
Yeah, I mean, I think Noshawn kind of got less work last week because they played the Raiders, and, you know, the final score is 37-21, but it wasn't even really that close. The game was never really close. So I think they kind of got Hillman and Ball some work that Noshawn would normally get. But, you know, I think until you see something out of one of the other two, Noshawn is the only one that you can really start with any confidence in any league that you have, no matter how deep the league is, really.
Yeah, the more of a blowout it is, the less they're going to play their more reliable guy in Noshawn Moreno. You know, they're blocking running back then. But, and then we have, you know, the other side of this shootout game is Michael Vick, who had his first setback of the season, I guess you could say, against the Kansas City defense. He still showed flashes of brilliance, which he's going to do over the course of the season. This is the game he's going to rebound against the Denver defense. Von Miller's still out. He's, you know, Champ Bailey may not play once again. So, and then you have LeSean McCoy, who leads the NFL by far with the 395 rushing yards through the first three games, where, I mean, so far ahead that Doug Martin is second with 297. So it's almost 100-yard difference. And, of course, he's, you know, that makes him the number one fantasy back. He's scoring touchdowns. He's catching balls out of the backfield. And, I mean, is DeSean Jackson still the number one wide receiver in fantasy?
No, I don't think so.
Or, you know, you're passed up. So, but
yeah,
this whole offense, I mean, so last week, starting last week, they had the number one running back and the number one wide receiver. And then Dick has been a top five guy all year, too. So start all those guys. I would even, if you had to, with Richard Michael Finley and Greg Olsen on a bye, if you had to pick up Brent Celek, there's a guy who could break through this week in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, last week was kind of a red flag for me. Michael Vick played two bad defenses and one good defense, and he's had two good games and one bad game. Now, I'm starting him this week because Denver, they just gave up 20-plus points to Terrell Pryor in Oakland. They wish they could run the Eagles offense. They just don't have the personnel. But they're like, you know, you could almost see it. Terrell Pryor is the poor man's Michael Vick. Darren McFadden is the poor man's LeSean McCoy. Denarius Moore is the poor man's DeSean Jackson. Like, you could almost see it. And Terrell Pryor just put up points against Denver. Like I said, I mean, I don't know how many times we could say it. It doesn't matter how pretty it looks or whatever. As long as the points are there, then that's all that counts. I expect Michael Vick to put up a lot of points this week. It's just against good teams. I don't know. He looked pretty bad last Thursday night against Kansas City. So, you know, he threw a pick six. He had got sacked a bunch. I think he had two fumbles, but I'm not sure because I don't think he got charged with that one fumble that, you know, hit the right guard's arm or whatever it was. But I don't know.
He's going to do that going forward, though. You have to take the turnovers with his explosiveness. So it's kind
right.
of, you know,
all I'm saying
like
is,
that far.
All I'm saying is I want to see, before I run away and say, you know, Michael Vick is a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
I want to see him do it against a good defense.
I wouldn't even consider this, you know, the best season. Like I said, it's just I love the matchup. And
oh yeah, he's gonna put up points this week. I'm saying going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And you know, another matchup I would have loved. Although there was a report, I think as of 20 minutes ago, that Terrell Pryor suffered a concussion on Monday night. You know, we needed to monitor his status all week. I would have loved for him to see him play against the Swiss cheese Washington Redskins defense, has led more yards than any other team in the first 3 weeks. So, but now it looks like he isn't going to play. Matt Flynn is going to be the starter there, so maybe we'll see if Matt Flynn does have some talent after getting benched for 2 preseasons in a row, which, for the big thing here, that just cuts into the production of every guy on the Raiders offense. Darren McFadden, he's been really consistent. He's only one of only 5 guys to score more than 10 fantasy points in each game this season. Now, he did it by throwing the touchdown pass last week and getting in the end zone in a garbage time touchdown, but now he's still, you know, he's the every down guy. He's making the most of his opportunity.
Ready? Here's what you need to know about Darren McFadden this week, seriously. And this is honestly amazing. Against the Redskins this year, granted it's only been 3 weeks, every opposing starter has scored, topped 132 total yards, and scored at least 18 fantasy points.
Starting running back?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're giving up five yards per carry.
Without Pryor, this significantly hurts his chances to do that. Even though I still like the opportunity, and you don't know. I mean, he's unexpected to play Pryor, but it's only Thursday, so he has all the way till late Sunday to heal from his concussion. You know, maybe he'll feel better. And it's not like, you know, Matt Flynn's not good, but he's shown he could do in one game at least. He's shown he could play in the NFL. So.
Well,
like that going forward, this hurts Denarius Moore and Rod Streeter more than anything, and Moore, a guy who, because he scored in 3 of the last 4 games that Terrell Pryor has started, all 4 games he started in his career, he's had a touchdown in 3 of them. So, and then last week, 6 catches for 124 yards and that touchdown.
Does it really hurt them though? I mean, yeah, Terrell Pryor is a better player and gives the Raiders a better chance to be competitive, but Matt Flynn's the better thrower.
You could potentially argue that, and I think it just hurts from a running standpoint, definitely. And McFadden is the one guy you're starting this offense, and he's the guy who's affected most by putting in Matt Flynn for Pryor.
Honestly, so, against the Redskins, I'm just starting anyone. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, well, who do you say? So really, you'd be starting Denarius Moore this year or this week?
Yeah,
Matt Flynn as a starting quarterback.
No, I want to start Matt Flynn.
No, you're starting Denarius Moore with Matt Flynn as your starting quarterback.
As a wide receiver, like 3? Yeah. Flex?
If you had Nelson on a bye week and you really have no one else to start, so who would you rather start, Denarius Moore or Ryan Broyles this week?
Denarius Moore.
I'll take Brian Broyles in a second.
Apparently I'll take him in a second because you have on 9 out of 10 team.
Especially in a PPR league, I would take Ryan Broyles in a second. With Matt, especially assuming Matt Flynn is starting. But
Washington's secondary is so bad.
Yeah, they haven't been good. I mean, I get it. It's just Matt Flynn. I don't know if he could actually put together a decent NFL game after, you know, he did it against the Lions 3 years ago. But we'll see. Robert Griffin.
Yeah. By the way, can Matt Flynn be any luckier with the matchups he gets? He could start against the Lions 3 years ago that were their secondary was terrible. And now Washington this year? Jesus Christ.
Actually, the one thing we could say about Matt Flynn that if they didn't beat them, was that the game? If Matt Flynn didn't beat the Lions game?
He kept the Lions out of...
No, the Giants would have played the Lions in the playoffs that year.
Yeah, I wonder how that would have went.
That would have been sweet. It would have been sweet.
But that was the year that the... Giants on the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah, they played Atlanta and the Lions lost.
Yeah, plans for the change. Plans for the change. Matt Flynn potentially won the Giants the Super Bowl.
He kept them out of New Orleans, I think.
Right. Yeah. And that was the biggest thing. So. All right, moving on. Robert Griffin, struggling so far. He's actually put together a decent fantasy season due to his garbage time points. But now he goes against another struggling defense, the Raiders defense. So this is a good week for him to break out. And interestingly, you know, I actually read earlier today that Alfred Morris He's only had one carry this season while his team had the lead. So that's significantly cutting into his production. He just hasn't had the opportunities. He looked good against the Lions last week, scoring on a long touchdown. So he's another guy I really wouldn't worry about too much until they, unless they start, you know, falling into the 0-5, 0-6 range. But this is a game they could definitely win. And the guy who's benefiting from all this, Pierre Garçon, second in the NFL with 37 targets. Second, I should mention, second for wide receivers. But because, of course, Jimmy Graham is second in the NFL with 38 targets. So that means he has all more targets than all but one wide receiver, whose name is Cecil Short. So anyway, just, you know, more evidence that Jimmy Graham is the MVP of fantasy seasons thus far.
Yeah. I love Alfred Morris this week. I think he's in it.
Yeah, I like everyone. Just like we spoke about the Broncos, Eagles, I like everyone in this matchup too.
120 and two touchdowns for Alfred Morris this week.
Okay, okay. If he gets 119, I'm gonna call you out on that. So we have another guy, Jordan Reed, interesting tight end sleeper for Washington. Now Fred Davis, he's not an option on this offense anymore. So if you're in a deeper league, I actually picked up Jordan Reed and starting him as a tight end. You know, if you have say Finley or Greg Olsen out, so there's a guy you can start. We have the Cowboys Chargers. You know, this is three games with bad defenses in a row, high scoring offenses and bad defenses. So I kind of like this matchup also. It's, you know, Tony Romo going against the Chargers defense has allowed the most passing yards with 357 and most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And of course, DeMarco Murray breakout game last week, 175 yards and a touchdown. More importantly, 26 carries, which, you know, he's staying healthy and he looks good. He's catching balls out of the backfield. And of course, you know, the wide receivers, it looks like actually Miles Austin had another setback in practice today with his hamstring, and it looks he's most likely not going to play, which opens the door for Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams is a rookie, correct?
Yeah, out of Baylor, I believe.
You know what, didn't he get benched in week one? I thought he had such a bad week one. Even the preseason.
Can you get benched if you don't start? I don't know.
They didn't put you back in the game. So.
He had a touchdown last week.
He's going to be starting. It looks like he's going to be starting as a wide receiver, too, in this offense. Next to Dez, of course, who had 12 touchdown catches in his last 11 games. I mean, the guy could play, flat-out play. And then we have Phillip Rivers, who's actually been the fifth highest scoring overall player in all of fantasy this year, which is obviously skewed because quarterbacks score more than any other position. But, you know, I mean, granted, that means he's the fifth highest scoring quarterback as well. So
this is a decent week. I have to start Phillip Rivers in two leagues. It's a decent week to have to start him.
Yeah, going against this offense is another one of those shootouts. There's going to be a lot of scoring in the 4 o'clock games, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of scoring. So, I mean, then we have Danny Woodhead is a nice PPR option. He's actually second among running backs in catches on the season, which is sort of expected. I didn't expect him to be that high. Then you bring up, and we have Antonio Gates as well, who's now a top 10 tight end as long as he can stay healthy. He's passed up a few guys who, you know, potentially drafted ahead of him. So just like the rest, just like the previous games we spoke about, high-scoring game, I like all those fantasy guys. And here's another one. I mean, as long as, especially if Gronkowski plays and Brady gets his act together, then we have the Patriots going at the Falcons. And this is, while Brady still put up, you know, he hasn't put up zeros in his first three games, he still hasn't been a top 12 finisher at quarterback this year. There's definite reason for concern. And Gronkowski, this is the week he's supposed to come back. They say he's 60-40 to play.
Yeah, report just came to that phone, though, that they're not optimistic now. I don't know what changed in the last couple hours.
Even if he does play, I would try to have another option. And he's not going to play a full game. He's not going to get a full workload. It'll help any snaps he does get is obviously going to help Brady. And if he's this close to playing this week, you have to assume that week five is the week you want to put him in your lineup.
But yeah, let's put it this way. I have Colby Fleener and Rob Gronkowski. I think I'm starting Fleener this week.
Yeah, and you might have to. And if you don't have a backup tight end, this is a Sunday night game. So you either have to make your decision before your other tight end plays, or you have to pick up one of the backups. And the only potential guy, only because the Falcons are playing now, and Tony Gonzalez is the starting tight end there. And then Monday night, you have the Dolphins with Charles Clay and the Saints with Jimmy Graham. And, of course, he's owned in all leagues, nicely owned. So, Charles, unless you can get Charles Clay, I'm going to have to go with any tight end you have on your team. I would probably start him over Gronkowski in the 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock games. So, this is just something you have to pay attention to. Monitor his progress throughout the week. But like I said, Kobe Fleener is probably the lowest scoring tight end who's owned in all leagues. And if you're going to start, we just suggested starting Kobe Fleener over Rob Gronkowski. So there's not many options that you're starting Gronk. We have Danny Amendola also out again. So it looks like he will be. I think he's doubtful. Allen Dobson and Kemba Tompkins. Tompkins had 2 touchdowns, but on only 3 catches, 41 yards. He was kind of just in the right place at the right time. He's not reliable going forward. If you had to start any of these guys, I would put Dobson first and then Tompkins second. And then you have Julian Edelman, who's the slot guy. He's been consistent, 7th in the league in targets. So,
yeah, I think he's only really no-brainer startable in PPR league. So
yeah, especially while Gronkowski and Amendola are still out. Then we have, and this entire offense, he still really is another guy who you kind of have to question going forward. I still like to start him, especially if he's getting carries taken away. And if you look at the snap count from last week, Stephen Ridley only 27 snaps, and LeGarrette Blount took 24 and Brandon Bolden 26. So this is
– and Blount actually had more carries. I know it was garbage time, but
– yeah, that's what's kind of scary. And it's – I don't know. Bolden, Blount had the most carries, and Bolden had the most yards. So really, his talent's still there. He looks the same running the ball. Just maybe the opportunity won't be there. And this is without Shane Vereen. So what if Shane Vereen was there? Then, we completely cut into Ridley's production.
Not to mention the Falcons are really good against the run this year. They've only allowed one runner or one running back at fantasy points this year, and it's Sproles, and he had 80 yards in that game. So that's about 9 points right there. So, I would bench Steven Ridley this week, too.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to have to unless you have a better option. And I don't even know if I said he was a buy low last week. I don't even know if that's the case anymore. You might just be stuck with him if you drafted him. And if you can get him for really cheap, if someone can afford to give away Stephen Ridley for practically nothing, then go ahead and do it. But, who are you starting this week just in this game alone? Would you rather start Jaquizz Rodgers or Stephen Ridley?
Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'd also rather start Jason Stallings, too.
Especially in PPR, I don't mind that at all. So, Rodgers, he looked good running the ball last week. He had a total of 43 snaps, touched the ball 20 times for 93 yards. They did give him a goal line carry, but he was predictably stuffed hard. So, but it's promising. Going forward, you would expect Jason Stallings to get most of the goal line carries, and he looked good as well. Just not as elusive as Rodgers, but he still put up yardage, played 36 snaps. 111 total yards with a touchdown on only 15 touches. So you have to like his productivity at least. And then, which is kind of, they're going to have to rely on the running backs a little bit more with Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez, who neither one of them have had 40 yards receiving in a single game this year. So, this is where Julio Jones has broken through with leading the NFL in receptions, 27 receptions, and also 373 yards receiving.
Yeah, not to mention the Patriots have been tough against the passing game this year. Granted, they haven't played best quarterbacks, but, it's something to take into consideration. And the fact that Matt Ryan hasn't really looked all that great this year, so.
Right, maybe when Roddy White comes back, when he's fully healthy, and we'll see. I don't know if Gonzalez if he's just old or, just hasn't had the opportunities this year. So, they're only going to get better moving forward. Again, if you guys want to call in, 760-283-0846. As we move on to the last game, the Monday night game, the Dolphins at Saints. Now, Saints, Darren Sproles, as you said, he's obviously much better in PPR leagues.
He doesn't have a touchdown yet this year, but he's still getting the receptions. The yards are still there. It's only a matter of time before he breaks through. And you know, this whole offense, it's kind of been taken over by my boy Jimmy Graham, second in the league with 38 targets. Then you look at, go down the list, Jordan Cameron, second among tight ends with 31 targets, and then no one else is even close. So it just, this is kind of, you know, this is what I've been expecting and hoping for, quite frankly, is where that Jimmy Graham is just by far the most dominant at this position. So it is what it is. And, you know, what do you, I mean, the Miami offense, it looks like Lamar Miller, he's going to be the feature back, which we kind of knew, but more as the weeks go on, it looks like more and more he's going to pull away from Daniel Thomas. He's still cutting into his production, but you know, we expect Miller's going to get the goal line carries.
I think he could have a big week this week too. If I'm not mistaken, the game is in New Orleans, and you know, you got to figure that the Dolphins are going to look to run the ball. They don't want to get into a shootout against the Saints in New Orleans. So, you know, I think Lamar Miller against that Saints defense could actually have a breakout game this week.
Yep, and, you know, the more of a reason that the Dolphins won't want to throw the ball, Mike Wallace, he had that big week two, then he disappeared again in week three, only two catches for 22 yards. And that's kind of, I think he's going to be the number two guy going forward, and Brian Hartline leads the Dolphins with 29 targets for 18 receptions and 239 yards. I'm not sure. Did Hartline have any touchdowns this week? So he's the guy you want to start, especially in PPR. And then we spoke about their goal line carries, and you have Charles Clay, actually. He was the guy. Who knows if he's going to become the goal line back, which, you know, with tight end eligibility, that actually, you know, that could make him quite the interesting play going forward. So, and not only that, I mean, just as a tight end, he's caught at least four passes for 40 yards in each of his first three games. So even if he's not getting the goal line carries, he's a decent fill-in, especially in bye weeks, which is what we spoke about with, you know, replacing Gronkowski or even Finley or Greg Olsen this week. So that covers all the games, actually, well, from our fantasy perspective. And now we move on to the gambling perspective, and I'm going to hand it over to Const. 10-5-5,
Const. All right, guys, welcome back. Const here. Unfortunately, my picks did not come into fruition last week. You know, the Niners, I don't know what that was. You know, we ended up 2-3, 5-5 on the season, but this is the week we're going to break out of the slump, and I expect nothing short of a 4-1 or a 5-0 week. Some of the picks you think may be, you know, a little out of the ordinary, but we'll see on next Thursday when I end up with a 4-1 record. We're going to start off with the lock of the week. Unfortunately, I'm picking against quite possibly the first, probably the second best team in football. I'm taking the Texans at home over the Seattle Seahawks. They had a pathetic showing last week. You know, the Ravens blew them out. Matt Schaub had a terrible game. You know, he was ripped, you know, like saying, oh, this guy's not a good quarterback. But let's make this clear. Seattle is a much different team on the road than they are at home. The Texans need this game a lot more than Seattle does. They're 3-0. You know, their competition in the division is 1-2 in San Francisco. I expect the Texans, you know, play a really good game and, you know, will themselves to victory. I like the Texans as my lock. And now we're going with the best of the rest. My first pick, I have the San Diego Chargers over the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are probably the better team, but let's not forget, San Diego's first game at home, they were up 28-7, and then they, you know, completely blew the lead against the Texans in the second half. Cowboys, historically, you know, not the greatest road team. You know, the Chargers need this game. I like Phillip Rivers against their poorest secondary. I think the Chargers are going to pull out. It will be a close game, but I like the Chargers. My second pick here, we got the Miami Dolphins getting the 6.5 points against the New Orleans Saints. I know most teams go to New Orleans, you know, they get blown out, but I'm one of the people who happens to think that this 3-0 start by Miami is not admiration. I think they're a good team. I think they're going to lose the game, but I definitely think they'll cover the 6.5 points. I think they'll run the ball fairly well, you know, keep Drew Brees off the field, and I expect the Saints to win a close game. The third pick here, and most of you are going to, you know, turn off the podcast after I say this, but I am picking the New York Football Giants, getting the 4 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. A couple of reasons. Obviously, one being the Giants after, I do not know what that was, but they got absolutely humiliated against a team that, you know, Carolina is an average football team. They're nothing special. And they got humiliated. I expect Tom Coughlin to have his team ready to play this week. The Chiefs are 3-0, you know, sitting atop the division with Denver. You know, I feel like this will be a letdown game for them, although they're at home. And let's not forget, the last time the Giants played Alex Smith, it was a 26-3 thumping in San Francisco last year. So I expect the protection to be better, Eli Manning to make some plays. The Giants defense will, you know, they'll rush Alex Smith. You know, he's a guy who's going to sit in the pocket. He's not going to turn the ball over. So I expect the Giants to have, you know, a decent amount of sacks. And I think they'll win the game. If not, they'll lose a close game. You know, I expect the Giants, you know, they're a desperate team. I expect Eli Manning to rise to the occasion, and they will cover the 4 points. And as for my upset of the week, well, what do you know? It's about 10 minutes away. I like the St. Louis Rams getting the 3 points against the San Francisco 49ers for a couple reasons. One, let's face it, Colin Kaepernick is in a huge slump. I mean, he has 0 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in the past 2 weeks. You know, he's never faced adversity before as a starting quarterback. St. Louis is a tough place to play in the Dome. I think it's a divisional game. San Francisco played them extremely well last year. Like Mo said before, they beat them once and tied them the other game. I just think the Rams are going to find a way to pull it out. You know, the home crowd's going to help will them to victory. And I don't like Colin Kaepernick right now. I think that his slump's going to continue. And believe it or not, the Niners, I think, are going to go to 1-3. I expect the Rams to win the game outright. Should be a good game, but that is my upset pick in the week. Mo, do you want to wrap it up?
Const, I actually kind of like the picks. We'll keep track of it again. This is a big week for Const. He's at 5-5. He's 500 right now. You know, this is where he takes a step forward. And he's, as always, sounding confident with the pick. So I like where you're going with this. As we promised, real quick, I just want to touch up on the bye week quarterbacks, the guys who are potentially available so you could start in place of Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton. Number one on the list, Phillip Rivers. As I mentioned before, he's a top 5 scorer in fantasy right now, so he may not still be available. But in one quarterback league, I wouldn't be surprised. And we have Ben Roethlisberger going against the Vikings defense, who's struggling. Not a bad fill-in as well. And we go a little bit deeper. I like Ryan Tannehill. Going against the Saints in a potential high-scoring game there, and you know, a little bit of a forest defense. So there's 3 guys you could look for. I love Terrell Pryor against the Redskins. You know, when he still had the chance to play, but that's not looking like the case anymore. But just monitor that if Terrell Pryor is available. I like him as the number one fill-in this week at quarterback. And then we have just want to go over. We'll have T analyze a few starts this week. I'm just going to throw out 2 potential matchups, and this is actually a real-life predicament he has. So, T, would you rather start Chris Johnson or Gio Bernard this week?
Gio Bernard.
Not even close. I mean, Chris Johnson going against the stout Jets defense. They've shut down a bunch of guys, and Chris Johnson, he hasn't been the most productive. I mean, he didn't even think about it. He didn't even hesitate. So, starting Gio Bernard this week?
Yeah, no
hesitation.
Question.
Okay.
No question.
So that's the second week in a row that we picked Gio Bernard in this little game. So next one, Le'Veon Bell or Jaquizz Rodgers?
Jaquizz Rodgers.
Okay. Well, am I asking terrible questions? You just know. I mean,
I hate Le'Veon Bell. So
I thought these were pretty close. I mean, I think I like Le'Veon Bell this week, getting all the carries. Jaquizz Rodgers is going to split, and Le'Veon Bell is just because of the lack of production from everyone else. It looks like he's going to be the number one guy. So I kind of like Bell going forward. I wouldn't really argue with, you know what, I would say Chris Johnson too. So Chris Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, you go with Gio Bernard and Jaquizz Rodgers. Now, final last one.
Cons, remember this.
No, Cons, mark it down. I don't like this one as much. Let me change it. Let me see if I can come up with something off the top of my head real quick. Cons, I was going to say the original question, Stephen Ridley or Stephen Jackson.
Stephen Jackson, not fine.
going forward the rest of the season?
Steven Jackson.
Even with Steven Jackson missing the next 3 weeks?
On a point per game, yeah. I mean, obviously, Steven Ridley for the next 3 weeks, but how do you expect
it? I mean, if you going forward, who would you rather have, Steven Ridley or Maurice Jones-Drew? Rest of the season.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, I don't think that one's even close. Maurice Jones-Drew or Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson.
Still, even with those 3 weeks, I would take Maurice Jones-Drew.
They're
anyway.
Both on terrible team. Like,
okay.
Steven Ridley stinks.
Fair enough. All right. So we have that covered. We did mention that the Packers, you lose a lot of production at wide receiver. When it comes to all three of their starting wide receivers being out on a bye, there's plenty of guys to fill in. We didn't get a chance to go over them. We're actually out of time. So best of luck in your week 4 matchups. Best of luck in your week 4 bets, following Tom's advice, of course. All right, so that pretty much covers it. We appreciate everyone who listened in. As always, send us your questions on Facebook, inboxes on Facebook, and best of luck in your games this weekend. Have a great night. We don't play, we take it to the house.